In a world where there are tons of perfectly acceptable sources of entertainment.
I'm not even going to say tell this movie to fuck itself, because that would give it pleasure.
One podcast has the balls.
Dave, you got anything good to say about this?
No!
To watch the worst of the worst.
Like, I don't like the movie, but I get to watch him fucking suffer.
And to tell you all about them.
I was trying to come up with something interesting to say, and I completely failed.
Beer will be drunk.
You keep asking him questions. He's literally reading the bottle.
Reading the bottle.
Bad words will be said.
That fuck doesn't go there.
Pete.
I hate all of you.
Dave.
Oh my god, you're all fucking exhausting.
Troy. And Kathleen.
I enjoy Dave at this level of drunk.
They bring you the Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Dave's regretting.
Come
all
on,
of this
is the best part. The worst part is over. We already watched the
movie. Yeah, okay, now, now we can just talk about it and get it the fuck over with, right? All right, folks, welcome to episode number 18 of Good Beer Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. And we needed a lot of beverages month. Thanks to Troy.
Yay, it's my fault this time.
It is your fault. So anyway, tonight's feature presentation, God help us all, is you're going to have to help me out. Maybe get some backstory here, Troy, because I didn't look shit up. It's called Rage War, but it's also called Dungeon Master.
Yeah.
It's also called The Knights of Challenging Excalibur. It has like 9 titles.
You know it's a bad movie when it's like, okay, we got to re-release it. Something
people
else.
To watch it by calling it different
called
titles.
The Dungeon Master. A.K.A. Rage War. A.K.A. Rage War, The Challenges of Excalibrate.
Oh, God.
A.K.A. Excalibrate. Digital Knights. 1984, PG-13. It's all
yeah, PG-13. Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Whoa. Whoa.
I think one of the first scenes.
Within the first 2 minutes.
Oh, I
right?
know. Yeah. You yeah. get right to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. So, okay, let's tell the folks how Good Beer Bad Movie Night works. So, again, tonight's feature presentation is Rage War, a.k.a. all the other things.
Pile of crap.
Mm-hmm. So right away, since this is Troy's birthday month, he's going to start us off with the 6-minute synopsis, where we take 6 minutes to summarize the film. After the 6-minute synopsis, we'll take a quick break and come back with this evening's choice of beverage. First choice of beverage. I think I saw 2.
You did.
Nice.
Ooh.
That will lead into our discussion of the film, and we're going to take another break a little later on for our second selection of the evening, talk a little bit about that beer as well, and then we'll end out the night with our 6-pack rating, where we tell you just how drunk you may have to be. I swear to God I'm going to do something with that.
Every time.
I swear to God.
Makes me sing that song
every time.
Pat Daly.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have our 6-pack rating, where we're going to ask you how many beers does it take for you to enjoy this film?
Theoretically,
because this one might take a lot of beers. Mm-hmm. Hang on, I gotta.
Thank you.
He needs one already, just talking about
yep,
it.
Yep, right. Okay, so folks, my name is Pete. Tonight is not my fault. so I'd like also to introduce my buddy.
Me, I'm Dave.
That guy. Apparently, I'm not very good at handing off.
Pointing at him was not enough.
This was not enough.
Like, that's great radio there.
It is. It really is. Maybe. Damn it.
Yes, I am the Buddy Dave.
Buddy Dave. Buddy Kathleen is there, too.
Hello, hello.
Right. And the fault of the evening.
Woot. It's all because of me that we're here.
It's yes, Troy. The buddy status is still...
Yeah, that after this one, it's in question for sure.
You got demoted.
And you've gone from buddy to butthead.
Yeah. He's been downgraded to associate.
Yeah.
Acquaintance.
So yes, this is Troy's birthday month, and for some unbeknownst reason, requested this film for the cast to watch.
That's right.
For God's sake, sir. Did you see this in the theaters?
No.
I can't wait to find out why you chose
Yeah, we need to.
Oh, you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, you're going to be. There's not a really good story. I follow a Facebook group that just posts B-movie trailers. And the trailer for this movie is awesome.
I believe
it. Looks like it's an insane menage of just like shit shoved together. But that's what it is.
It is.
I was like, oh shit, I thought there was going to be something more coherent holding all this together. But nope. No, it's just, and yeah, we'll get to it.
All right, the little bit that I did, it actually is a little fascinating, yet it fails on every good level. Oh my dear God.
I'm sorry.
Get the girl a beer.
No joke. You've got some sort of beverage in front of you. So before we get into the 6-minute synopsis, we did get one respondor to the Facebooks. Friend of the show, Rod Barnett from the Bloody Pit podcast and the Nashy cast.
Ooh.
We need to work on Nashy films. Paul Nashy films.
Paul Nashy?
Yeah, we'll do that off mic. But anyway, it's some glorious batshit crazy stuff. Anyway, Rod Barnett gave us a movie selection, and I did go back and watch it before subjecting you guys to it, and it was called Terror from Year 5000.
Okay.
Why does that sound familiar?
It was MST3K.
Okay.
So it's a good possibility that you may have run across it there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch it MST3K. I just like, give me it. Mm-hmm. And I... Anyway.
It turns out to be less of a suggestion as a challenge.
You're right. It might be a challenge. So, Rod,
I throw it out the gauntlet. Watch. See if you can get through this.
So we actually have the year planned out through, I think, January. So I think we will get to this film because there are some pretty awesome things about this movie that we could discuss. We'll get to it, Rod. Thank you very much for the suggestion. Please keep those suggestions rolling in, or not.
Depending upon the quality of the things that we've gotten
maybe
so far.
We've had a terrible... Anyway.
I mean, I don't know. It's pretty hard to guess that someone would give a worse suggestion than what we've actually watched, so...
I believe we've had some challenges here. And tonight was no exception, or this film was no exception. And why don't we just rip the Band-Aid off and let Troy do his
6-minute synopsis.
6-minute synopsis.
Yes. I changed the trigger bell on the alarm. So if you don't make it in 6 minutes, it will not be nice.
It will not be nice.
Well, I told you that was what I put on because Jen was so terrified about doing the 6-minute, and I just forgot to change it. So, per your request, I changed it, and you guys shamed me last month. So,
all right. So
hold on, wait. I gotta pull it up.
I need to get a running start.
What? I don't understand.
It's gonna be close.
He practiced it at home, and it's either 6 minutes, 10 seconds, or 5 minutes, 50 seconds.
That's
a 20-second swing. Right
it's
there.
A right.
Yeah,
there.
that's one little stumble here and there.
Right.
Uh-huh. And,
all right. Are you ready?
Sure.
Set. Go.
All right. Well, we start with our hero, Paul Bradford, waking up on a table with electrode patches attached to his head and arm. At the foot of the bed, a beautiful girl stands in a red dress. Paul chases her through what looks like the concrete bunkers of a water treatment plant, and the romance of the scenery seems to get to the pretty lady, who takes off all of her clothes because it's the 1980s.
Yes!
She ducks through a hole in one wall, which leads to a, of course, room with a bed, and Paul starts to make out with pretty lady, who then gets a look on her face like she's totally creeped out. And perhaps with good reason, for a door on the back wall opens and demons scuttle out, bitch slap Paul, and drag the pretty naked lady through the door. They slam the door behind them, and the opening credits appear. Rage War! Wait, Rage War? I thought this movie was called The Dungeon Master. After the opening credits, we have Paul wake up. it was all a dream, apparently. Or it must have been, because that's the last time we see Pretty Lady in this film. Instead of Pretty Lady, we get freaking Cal, Paul's supercomputer, telling him that he's late for an appointment. We watch Paul go about his day, which includes using his magic computer glasses to hack an ATM and give him $20 when he has no cash for flowers. Sup that, Google Glass. But once we get home, Paul chats with Cal about his day until Gwen shows up, Gwen's his girlfriend. Paul proposes to his girlfriend in his workout clothes and by handing her flowers and explaining that they just talked it over with Cal and it all adds up. And Gwen is super unimpressed with the fact that Paul's consulted his computer first, and I kind of get that, Gwen. She goes on to explain that it kind of grosses her out that Paul was a part of an experiment that links Paul with his computer, and that's apparently all the explanation that we're going to need about that, because we won't be hearing about it again. So they go to bed, and Paul has another dream about Gwen doing some weird bathing thing under a waterfall while Paul is stuck in a mine box from hell and slowly melts. He walks to a house, or he wakes up to a house that's filled with smoke, and for no reason that I can come up with, gets transported to a beach on fire where Gwen is chained to a rock. And suddenly, Bull from Night Court, who is sporting an evil mullet, appears out of nowhere and declares Paul a worthy opponent for Massima. And Massima gives him padded velvet armor and a wristband that contains Cal. First Google Glasses and now Apple Watch? Was this movie written by Jules Verne? So Massima explains that he's been looking for a challenger for 1,000 years, and now he found a computer consultant from Southern California who's apparently going to give him a run for his money. Massima explains that he's devised 7 challenges for Paul. And if he defeats all 7, they go free. If not, their souls belong to him. So then we watch Paul go through the 7 challenges. There's the ice gallery, in which Paul has to throw an ice crystal being held by Einstein at a collection of the world's criminals, plus a werewolf and a mummy, apparently, in a cave that is slowly freezing him. Wait, did you need something?
Hmm? Oh,
no. Oh. Darn it.
These are 20 seconds.
So it's way less interesting than that makes it sound. And why is Einstein in a cave with every criminal in the world? I don't get that. Demons of the Dead, they're scary-looking demons with swords and spears that don't actually use them, they just brandish them at Paul. And Paul defeats them by shooting a laser from his wrist computer at a crystal that's held at the end of a scepter of a tiny demon named Ratspit. And maybe because there was a crystal in the last challenge, I don't get that either. And Ratspit tries to scare Paul by showing him his own death. And Paul defeats it by the power of philosophy. That thing is only a culmination of future possibilities. I reject your reality, and I substitute my own. Deep, Paul. Deep. After defeating Ratspit, Massima and Paul have some kind of weird and sadly boring cartoon dragon fight in the air. And out of nowhere, Massima asks Paul if he fancies music. And he makes him listen to some theremin composition that he wrote himself. And to compete with that, Paul pulls out some 80s hair metal. And Massima does an imitation of everybody's grandfather, asking him if he actually likes that noise. And then dooms Paul to attend a Wasp concert. So we go to the third challenge, which is a heavy metal concert, where we're treated to some serious metal phase by Blackie Lawless, which is awesome, who threatens to slice up Gwen, who's tied up in a box that's behind the stage. Paul defeats the meddlers with high-frequency sound. Irony. Then we go to the Stone Canyon Giant, which is the most boring story with the best special effects. Some small people... steal Paul's computer wristband and leave it under a giant statue that comes to life to chase Paul while shooting lasers from the crystal in his head. And Paul shoots the crystal in the giant's head with the laser from Cal. Yawn. So during the interlude between those battles, the steam offers to let Paul go if he can keep Gwen. And he offers him gold and as many babes as he can handle. And Paul has to think about that last offer for a minute, but he doesn't give in, and the steam calls him a fool. I don't think so, replies Paul. After all, you know what they say. There's no fool like an old fool.
I don't get
good one, Paul.
Yeah.
Then we go to Slasher. And Paul finds a newspaper showing that Gwen has been killed by a serial killer. But the voice of Massima comes out of nowhere and tells Paul that that's tomorrow's headline, and he has an hour to stop the murder. So he gets arrested, and we're treated to some bad cop dialogue, and eventually escapes, and he runs through the city to save Gwen just in time. And he shoots him off the reflection in a mirror with the cow laser. Yawn. Actually, this is the most boring story. So then we go to Cave Beast, and Paul's lured into a cave, and there's a creature in the cave that throws things at Paul that blow up, and Paul realizes that they ricochet off the walls, and he watches as one of the explosions causes a rock to fall on the creature, and it, for some reason, turns into an angel who tells Paul that he could have just won by walking out of the cave, and Paul apologizes, and that's what he could have done, and the angel says, "You've done it." Now, that's the most boring story. And then we go to Desert Pursuit. And have you ever seen Megaforce? It was like that, but more boring. At least Gwen gets to do something besides be chained to a rock in this one. She shoots down two cars before Mishima takes control of it and crashes it into another car. And I think that means that they're supposed to have lost, because then we're back in the fiery cave, or in the fiery desert, and Mishima says the game is over, but Paul convinces him that he doesn't get the... So Paul convinces him that he doesn't get any enjoyment out of all this because he's not having any of the fun, and that a mano-a-mano fist fight to the death would get his blood pumping. Mishima actually agrees to that, and Paul winds up throwing Mishima into a lake of fire. So then they disappear and wind up back home, and Cal says, "Hello, Paul. I'm back." And Paul looks concerned, but Gwen decides that she's finally ready to marry Paul, so things work out the best, I guess.
Yay! I will take... it is my fault that you did not succeed. I will take the blame for that.
Pete was waving his arms around.
I was.
He was excited.
I was excited.
Smacking the top of his head.
I thought he was like, wait. There's the microphones are messed up or something.
No. My fault. I think you would have succeeded had I not screwed that up. But
yeah,
anyway.
You needed an extra 30 seconds.
That was close.
That was highly entertaining, though.
Yeah. Good.
That was much better than actually watching the film.
It was.
There's a lot of that.
Had I just listened to your 60-minute synopsis, I would have
been excited
taken
to watch
in
it.
The whole thing. I would have enjoyed it, and I would have moved on.
Had I listened to your 6-minute synopsis, I would have stopped after we saw the full nudity of the first 2 minutes.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yes. Full frontal.
Plus a
PG-13. Mm. Full frontal.
Yep.
Man, oh, man.
And I was like, oh, those are real.
Yeah, yes.
That's a
lady.
That's not what I expected
nope.
to see.
Nope.
Nope.
Was not expecting that. So, okay. Thanks, Trek. Let's
beer.
Let's beer. Let's go ahead and hit the lobby.
Let's beer as a verb.
All right. See you in a minute.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Dave just...
Where's the camera?
It is a black lid, so it is a little difficult to see.
It's an evil can.
True.
And we're drinking...
Sorry.
You surprised me.
Oh.
I haven't even picked up the beer yet to touch your bald knee over here.
Yeah, so we're drinking Lazurite.
Yeah.
Or what? How did you say it, Dave?
Oh, I just looked at it and was like, ooh, Lazurite.
I
think Turd Ferguson would say it like that.
Which sounds even better. And this is from War Pigs Brewery, which is a combo. Well, it's War Pig Brewing, which is a combo of Three Floyds and McKellar. And McKellar is a Danish, they call him a gypsy brewer. I don't quite understand what that is. But
too many names.
They started a brew pub in Copenhagen. And
this crazy.
This is their flagship beer over there. And then Three Floyds has finally started making it in America.
So are they contract brewing? Any idea? Is McKellar contract brewing with the... or? I don't understand. So Three Floyds and McKellar have created War Pigs.
Yes. War Pigs is the name of the brew pub.
Is the name of the brew pub?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said Three Floyds and Danish gypsy brewer McKellar opened an actual pub in actual Copenhagen called War Pigs.
Fascinating. Okay.
And
just like witches at Black Masses?
Yes. And this is a 7.5% ABV. With 70 IBU.
Say that again.
7.5 ABV.
ABV, yes. Okay.
I was like, shit, did I do it
wrong? No, I heard wrong. I'm sorry.
It's on my paper.
It can't be wrong.
I wrote it down.
70 IBU. And from the website, they describe this as a bright, citrusy, and full-bodied American IPA with just enough malt to balance the profound bitterness. And
That's nice.
Isn't it good? Now, it's funny, because like I got this... 2 years ago when I visited home, because they...
Wait a minute, these cans are 2 years old?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
First time
I'm sorry.
This.
2 years ago, I went home to...
It was at Christmas time.
Northern Indiana at Christmas time, and they had these in the grocery store up there, because
Three
Floyds is
Three
very
Floyds
close.
Yeah.
And I was instantly blown away. I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. And then I went and found this, and I took a... And it's one of those things that's like... I took a sip, I was like, this is not how I remembered it tasting. And I can never tell, like, and they say on their website, they have an FAQ on their website, like, did you change the recipe for this? No, we don't change the recipes, but year after year, things change. You know, the water's dip, the water is more fluoridated.
We have less EPA.
We're not Budweiser. We don't have the equipment to make everything. Right.
We have the ability to pass legislation in an entire city.
Yes.
Right.
To clean up our water.
Your water's going to be like this for us, right?
Yeah, you're never going to have exactly the same circumstances, but it seemed like it was a big difference, but...
Sometimes we make it with more love.
Well, when did you taste one of these that we're holding?
The one that we're holding?
Yeah.
This one,
this doesn't taste the same as it did when I was...
When we went home last time, which was July?
You had one when we were still there?
Yeah.
My question was going to be, because the first time when we had them... You guys went out to the store. You got them. You brought them back to Steve's. We had them.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we got them and kept them in a cooler and had to bring them home to Ohio.
No,
so
I
had it
at home.
If there was some travel add to the flavor.
Because this seems a little bit more piney than the first time. The first time I had it, it seemed way more citrusy. And this has got a little bit more pine to it.
I think it's a lot.
Piney the Elder?
Yes. It's still very good.
Somebody had mentioned Piney the Elder.
Piney the Elder, right.
The beer, not the Roman.
Right.
Philosophy.
Exactly. That is a very nice beer. I really like that.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as malt forward? Because if I put it in my mouth, it feels like very malty and tastes very malty. And then as soon as I swallow, it's all hop finish.
Mm-hmm. Cleans up and that hop, that the hops just clean everything up nicely.
Yeah.
It's not overly sweet. It's not a... Mm-mm. It's not an amber at all.
No.
It doesn't have that Oktoberfest chewy,
yes,
dark candy sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's very malty, citrusy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it finishes nice and clean with a nice hop burn. I really enjoy
it. And it is a pine flavor. Like, I know I'm always saying that hop afterwards is like grass in your mouth, but this is really more... Pine.
More refreshing, I think.
Yeah, it's clean. It's different than
pine, cypress.
Well, it's different than that lawn clippings that I usually feel like after something that's really hoppy. So I like this.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm not sure how many I could go through.
Well, it's
7.6.
7.6.
Or 7.5. I'm sorry.
7.5.
And 70.
And 70 IBUs. So it's pretty, right, and we haven't talked about the Geary for a while, so.
Yeah, well, because we did sours last time.
And the time before, we didn't do any sort of beer the time before.
Right.
Marls and Jen.
No, Seagram's.
But they have some interesting beers that they do at War Pigs. The one that caught my eye, and I thought I'd at least read it. There's one called You're in Trouble. U-R-I-N-E, Trouble.
Ugh.
It's brewed with our friends at Surly. This Imperial Brett IPA is fermented with a unique strain of yeast, Brettanomyces lambicus.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Right.
It's not right, but it's close enough.
Science word.
Right.
This yeast creates earthy barnyard notes along with pineapple and cherry pie aromas. Of course, it's hopped heavily. Simcoe and Chinook are the culprits for this cat peed on the Christmas tree aroma.
Yeah, I was going to say, a barnyard odor is another way of saying piss and shit.
Yeah.
We made a beer that tastes like piss and shit.
And they called it urine trouble.
You pee on a wool blanket and you let it sit in hot sun. That's what that beer probably is.
Disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
I'm not ever trying that.
Meanwhile, I want to take a field trip to Copenhagen.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, we can't get these here.
In Columbus?
Here in Ohio, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I've looked.
I couldn't tell you. We can get My Keller beers in Columbus. We can get Three Floyds in Columbus, but this might be a little a little too...
More and more Three Floyds are showing up.
You're right. They've got a better distributor, and they are coming into Ohio pretty easily. I had an Alpha King on draft the other day, and I'm oh, hell yeah. Oh, yesterday, actually. It's great.
Yeah, and this is not exactly an unrecognizable can. It stands out. It's got definite shelf recognizability.
Right.
That's
see it, go to our Instagram page and check it out.
That's right.
Look for the black can that says Lazoo.
Yeah, it's bitching.
We had mentioned the Geary theory, which is, for those of you who are not familiar with it, who have, are just joining us, or, you know what, fuck you, I'm just going to explain it. beers are typically brewed at an alcohol by volume, which is how alcoholic a beer is, which is known as an ABV. And they also tend to have a level of hops introduced into the brewing process, and the measurement of how many hops or how much hops is used is known as the IBU, which is the something bittering unit.
International bittering units.
It's not a local bittering unit.
No. Of course not.
But a domestic bittering unit.
And so ABV is a measure of how alcoholic it is, and IBUs is a measure of kind of more or less how bitter it is. And if there's a balance that we're trying to strike here, that we found here at this podcast, based upon the discovery of our dear friend Gary, that if the ABV is about 10% of the IBUs, then the beer tends to be very balanced. So a 7% beer, which is what this is, this Lazurite, so this is a 7% beer, and it is a 7, what is it?
It's a 7.5% beer,
right,
and 70 IBU.
Right, so it's right around between 10 and...
It fits within a
bubble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it is actually quite a nicely balanced beer. If you had a very high IBU and a very low ABV, it might be a very bitter beer, a hoppy beer. If you have the opposite, which is like a very high alcohol content, but a very low IBU, low bitter level, then it might be a very malty beer, very sweet and strong, sticky, greasy, oily.
Ew. Oily? Yeah, that's a
thing. I don't want a beer that's oily.
Chewy.
No. Yeah. But that's the balance that you... our friend Gary is a malt head. He likes the malt bombs.
And he's also a beer nerd.
And he doesn't like the hop bombs. He doesn't like them too hoppy. But the few we've had, and that came about the Geary, it was like, oh, this is 100 IBUs, but it's 10%, and I like it. So that's where that came from. And so far, everything has fit the pattern. I would love to get, maybe I could borrow one of these and shove it in Gary's face and see if it fits his.
Yeah.
Because with the ABV being a little over the IBUs, I think that would do that.
Yeah.
Borrow.
Well, we were discussing this today. The
Gary,
Troy, and I were talking about it a little bit this morning in the kitchen, and he was saying that he's starting to question Geary a little bit because, it works in a lot of times, but almost we're finding it also doesn't.
It's like that brew kettle one from last time.
Yes.
I don't think that fit. Mm-hmm. I don't think that worked.
That was a different kind of hop, though, wasn't it?
Well, and that's what we started talking about. I was like, you know, is there an aspect to this where there's some finer points to it where a certain kind of hop is going to, it doesn't matter if it's, right on the nose mathematically, if you use hop, you know, pretty pants or whatever, because they all have these weird names that I don't understand where they come from. If you use that kind of hop, then that doesn't matter,
newest hybrid, the pretty pants hop.
But then I'm like, if you have a theory, it has to have a predictable outcome. And if it does not, if it's not predictable, because it's 10%, but unless this...
But I mean, come on, that's any rule that you set.
Yes.
I before E, except after C, and then there's 50 words that don't apply to that rule.
Bad theory.
No.
It's a rule of thumb.
Theory should be able to predict with a measurable, replicable number of times.
Right.
There should be exceptions.
Right.
I mean, there probably most likely are exceptions. But I think over the past however long we've been recording, and however long we've been tasting beers, the Geary theory has been pretty consistent. There have been exceptions, but there should be exceptions.
Totally.
Otherwise, there would be no rule.
And I think we have found some exceptions outside of the podcast. Right.
Sure.
Like when we were in, Florida for spring break, and we bought all those Floridian beers that were, local to that area, we picked specific ones because they were supposed to fit the Geary, and they did-ish, but I think the sheer fact that we just didn't like them also may color that concept, right? Because you can have a beer that fits the theory and still be like, yeah, but this is yucky.
Which disproves the theory?
No, wait a minute. It matches the theory, even if you don't particularly
enjoy that. What's the theory supposed to prove? That if it's a well-balanced... No, but because the theory is originally that if it, if the 10% difference... If it falls within the range, then somebody that does not like a hoppy beer will like it.
Even though the IBUs registers as a hoppy beer.
Yes. And if you do not like it, then the theory does not work.
Well, I don't know. That's like saying I like chocolate cake, but I don't like German chocolate cake versus a fudge chocolate cake. You can't have something that's a big, broad umbrella.
Yeah, I disagree. This is a starting point.
It's a square one.
It's something you can look for and you can try.
Right.
It makes it fun.
So I didn't realize it does make it fun. It was like if the geary fits.
If the geary fits, wear it.
Yeah, that's gross.
I mean, I kind of feel like that's a little bit what your Troy's frame of mind is that if the geary fits, I'm going to like this.
Yes.
I meaning you, which is even more complicated.
Not I meaning me.
Because, well, and I say that as a clarification because I don't like, I like Gary. Do not like a super hoppy beer.
You like Gary?
I do like Gary. He's a lovely human being. And we have a very similar taste in beer because neither one of us like a beer that is very hoppy. So I wonder if that's where, because I've always looked at the theory as thinking, okay, it's going to be balanced. Therefore, there's a better chance I will enjoy,
Kathleen will enjoy
this hoppy beer because as a general rule, I dislike those.
Right. And it allows you the opportunity to walk up to a strange beer.
Right.
And right. In the van.
You come out here.
Free candy.
Oh, God.
and read the label and go, oh, okay, ABV means alcohol by volume. Right. And if this is 10% of this number, which is IBU, then there's an opportunity that that beer might be good. It still might suck.
Right.
Because there are beers that still aren't your thing.
Right.
But there's a chance, there's a better chance that that beer with those ratios are going to fit your palate.
Right.
In a much more enjoyable way.
Right.
Whereas if the numbers are skewed more toward a bitter beer, there's a much higher chance that you won't like it.
Right.
And it also gives you an idea what when you walk up to any beer and you go, oh, look at that. The ABV or the IBUs are very low. So that's going to be a sweeter beer. And wherever that IBU number is, you can discern whether it's going to be a little on the hoppier side or a little on the sweeter side.
Right.
Maltier side, right.
Right.
I like it.
And there will always be exceptions. You're right. Right. So,
like in
anyway, we're educating them, their listeners.
Yes.
So, listen.
I think it's a conversation we'll continue to have.
Yep.
You know, both here on the podcast and standing in the kitchen when you're like, here, try this. And I say, no. Or when I give you another tea beer with a completely straight face.
Oh, dear. God.
I would love to hear from any listeners if this geary fits their beer sort of.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear, here's one I tried, one that's not one that we've talked about.
Exactly.
Here's one that I've tried, and this is what I thought.
Hopefully we've got listeners not just in this room.
Right. Or that also drink beer, unlike Jen.
Right. Thanks, Jen. But yeah, all over we'd love to hear it if you're all over the country and somebody runs across something that mathematically fits the geary and doesn't.
Right.
That would be fascinating. I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
I'd hate to hear it.
You would.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, we won't tell you.
We won't tell you about it.
Oh, you know what I'd hate to hear about?
I don't want to talk about this movie. I knew you were going there.
I think we put it on long enough. Put it on, put it off.
All right, my favorite.
Engine master.
Full frontal in only 2.29 seconds of the film.
Is that what you wrote down?
Uh-huh.
I wrote down, well, we got naked fast.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
It's not just my birthday, guys.
Thanks, Troy.
Ding. Yay, ching.
Ding. So dumb. Yay. dumb.
So yeah, well, and the
I don't know what there is to talk about.
I was trying to look at my notes to see what I said, and it was like, I was with you with him chasing her through the water treatment plant, but I said sewage treatment plant.
There you go, there you go.
And then I said, enters dark hall, runs, chases. She removes her dress. Hello, full frontal. She runs, he chases.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
I think I might have actually blurted it out. Vagina!
What's weird about that is, like, it has nothing to do with, well, what has anything to do with the movie? I think that's one of the biggest problems with this movie. Ooh, isn't
if this
it?
Was a dream, it can you can have full frontal in a dream.
I know, and
happens
you know.
To me every night.
I have nothing to respond to that.
And speechless.
No, this is a very, very disjointed movie. So a dream, a sexy dream, apropos of nothing at the very beginning, and is never referred to again, is par for the course, because I was very confused about a lot of stuff that was happening in the movie. I felt like I couldn't decide if it was a matter of bad editing or bad directing or bad writing or all of the above. And I was trying to figure out, like, I tried to measure, like, I wish I had taken tally marks, like, okay, that's a problem with editing. That's, and like, I see something, oh, that's a problem with shitty directing. Or like,
you run out of paper.
Yeah.
Well, there's some. Okay, every once in a while I'll be like, oh, that was kind of clever, as far as, like, some of the shots and, like, moving down, and you can see his glasses get, like, the glasses is weird. Oh. Like, what is
that? So stupid.
Yeah, see, he has, and I don't know if I've made this clear in the 6-minute synopsis, because I had to skip over it, because there's so much to talk about. So, like, he has Cal in his glasses, so he'll reach up and, like, touch the rim of his...
It's totally Google.
Yeah, oh, touch yeah. the rim of his yes. glasses. Yes. And, like, the lights will change as he's jogging yes. so that he can, like, run through.
Yes. Controls traffic lights. And controls
yeah.
ATMs.
Yeah, ATMs and traffic lights.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you hack an ATM, you don't take $20.
Right. Because he was...
You take a grand. I mean... Right.
Because he... $20. Because he was part of an experiment that merged him with his computer, apparently, which is like, I love that that's a throwaway line.
Oh, there were a lot of throwaways. A lot of...
Yeah, okay, yeah. And he's merged with a computer. All right, that's very Tron-esque.
Yeah. When did Tron come out?
82.
Okay.
Yeah, this is,
post-Tron.
Yes.
On Wikipedia, they said that this was made because of the popularity of Dungeons & Dragons and Tron.
Really?
Yes.
Was Dungeons &
Dragons? I don't know what that... What they used as a reference for that. I mean, it's Wikipedia, so take with a grain of salt, but...
Well, I mean, Dungeons & Dragons was very popular at the time until, like, there was this big backlash, like, oh, it's satanic, it's a cult and all that stuff, and, like, people were
burning. That made me like it more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Made everybody like it more.
Mm-hmm. But, the Tron thing, I thought that Tron was a box office failure.
I think so, too.
Was it?
I thought.
I mean, originally?
I mean, I rented it really? 12 times. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's not box office.
Yeah, Tron alone, actually.
Yeah. Troy's the reason the sequel came.
Oh, thanks a lot, Troy. Oh,
yeah. I was in love.
Don't worry, he was upset about it, too.
I was so mad at that. Oh, my God. I'm not going to start talking about Tron.
No, don't
We're
going
go back to go back
Don't do it. Don't do it.
But, okay, no, so that he can walk around and he's hooked into computers, his home computer somehow, through his glasses.
Yes.
And that he can hack ATMs in order to steal money from somebody else.
Right. He's a human walking hacker Wi-Fi in 1984.
Right.
Four.
Even though
he's 1984.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I don't think this movie is smart enough to have any sort of reference to that book.
No, I mean, like, it's kind of funny. Some of the things that he does is like, you could do that now.
Yeah.
Like honestly, you don't need to have a debit card anymore when you go up to the ATM. You can, if you have your phone, you can just like wave your phone in front of the ATM and you get money out. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what he did, because it did say that he drew $20 from his account.
Right.
And Cal's Alexa.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
And Cal came back and told him that his account was overdrawn. I'm like, he's a computer genius that can control the stoplight with his glasses. How's this man overdrawn?
He can't balance his butt. Balance his budget. I might be Exactly. Thank you very much.
It's because he jogs wearing a backpack.
Yeah, that's no good.
It's like extra added weight.
But how do you... How do you hack a street light that's not actually electronic? It's electric based on a timer, or it's based on like pressure. pressure pads or magnetic. I mean,
computer magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's hacking. This is very much 80s computer magic time. War games. The all of it. It's
that's
the
actually
last,
something. But
the last Die Hard movie, not the last one, but the one with Justin. What's Long. His name? Yeah, they do that. They hack into the traffic signals to make it gridlock and all that to screw everything up when they take over the whatever
during the fire sale. Actually,
during the fire sale,
something
that
I thought about when I was watching this and watching him do all this hacker crazy magic stuff. I'm like, exactly what did people in the early 80s think that computers could do?
No one knew anything about computers in the early 80s.
Which is why it was
magic.
Wizardry.
Right.
It could play Lode Runner.
Which was funny how, actually, one of the things that was interesting was when Bull Shannon says they had a brief exchange about, well, you're a wizard. Well, you have wizarding stuff too. It's just not
computer magic.
Well, yeah, they're saying is technology might look like magic to someone who doesn't understand it.
I forget who said it. It was a science fiction author said that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Exactly. And that's where that was the one thing in this. I was like, you're absolutely right. That's very science fiction-y. That is a trope in science fiction where even Star Trek goes to that degree where things look like magic, and Kirk did it many times. Like, I can make the earthquakes come too, and the planet shakes.
So you must pay me in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Kirk.
Yeah. Bring me all the unclothed women my eyes can stand.
Now, did anybody else read that? So this was a disjointed film. Yes. Dave, you were kind of leaning towards that.
I was just trying to figure
each
out.
Each task, there were seven tasks. Yes. Mm-hmm. Each task had a different director. And if you watch the credits, there was director of blurp and director of blurp. And
often
blurp,
written
blurp,
by
blurp,
different
blurp.
People, too.
Yeah. So that's why this movie was a hot mess, because they had different writers and different directors for each crazy section.
Yeah.
Right, each sequence.
I
did wait till the end. I watched all the way through in one sitting like an idiot.
And, in case there was any after credit scenes,
we did two because we were halfway through. We were more than halfway through, and I was falling asleep. And I went to Troy, and I was like, "All right, I'm either out or we have to finish tomorrow." And he was like, "Finish tomorrow." I was like, "Son of a bitch, I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just gone to sleep."
Oh, so you did stay up for this whole thing? God bless you,
Ash. Made it through.
Well, no, it didn't occur to me that this was an anthology until the end. And I was like, oh, this is an anthology. Terrible things.
Terrible things.
Well, it's an interesting idea. It reminded me of that movie that came out in the 90s, Four Rooms, that was a Tarantino.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a blast. That's a fun movie.
You know, I can't think of the other guy's name. That was the other kind of big name that did that. Rodriguez, I think.
Robert Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. And they were part of that. And I told Troy, because I was writing stuff down when we finished watching it, I was like, this reminds me of that movie Four Rooms, where each room is a different story and it's tied together because it's all in the same hotel. And I was like, and I would bet you a dime to a donut that those two morons love this movie. And he was like, probably. So based on that and that Grindhouse movie where What's-Her-Face has a machete, or not, I think saying machete, but it's a machine gun for a legs dump.
Yes!
You know, that screams having
that
been
so
a
much.
Fan of this movie in their teen years and what have you.
But there was also Heavy Metal, which was
an
anthology, like an animated anthology of all sorts of crazy stories. And
I love that movie too.
I do like
these anthology movies aren't out of the ordinary.
It's a cool idea. And even though
it is a cool idea, except
though I did not enjoy the various different vignettes because they were stupid, the thing that was annoying about this movie was every time they got zapped back to the flame desert is what I called it, where they the flame desert cave where they hung out with Bull. That was pointless. Like, it was just, oh, you've won again, and now I'm gonna say more random crap because I have to, and we need
it's a vehicle
to
get the next story,
right? But I just That was the worst part. Like,
no, those are my favorite parts.
Are they?
I love Mestima. Oh. I think that he was the most entertaining thing I've seen in a long time.
I didn't
time.
Recognize him at first.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I recognized him immediately.
Me too.
Oh, did you? Oh, like,
I saw Richard Mole in the credits, so I didn't have a chance to not recognize him. I was like, oh,
I wasn't paying attention to the opening credits. Although he got a little feely in one of those segments that made me way uncomfortable. Like, oh, you are grabbing her and all the...
It was weird. Yeah. Right, I was watching him and like, because he reaches over and he's like going to grab her, but like if you look, he's using the back of his hand. I'm like, I wonder if that was in the contract or something. Like, don't actually grab me. You can like touch.
Or he's a nice guy and he's like, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he grabs her thigh and whatever.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It kind of looked,
exactly.
It kind of looked like that.
But it was still really yucky. So, yeah. When we got to the story that was the weird stone guy.
Oh, the statue.
Monster,
the statue. The Harryhausen episode. You're not wrong. That was the best effect.
It was so smooth.
That was very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Very,
well,
very good.
I looked at Troy and I was like, oh my God, did we start watching Ape? Like, that's totally what it reminded me of. Like, it was, like, the coloring, like, the way it was lit, the coloring.
Yep.
The, you know, that whole kind of thing, the big stone thing getting up, and then
Ape is one of our lost episodes, by the way, guys. Mm-hmm. So sorry.
Yeah.
So in that segment, there was a little person that I recognized.
Yes. Yeah. I have a great text from Pete about that too. Let me pull it up.
Oh wait. Okay. Well, whatever.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I recognize him, and as soon as we get to that section, I'm like, oh look, Ewoks, and. Both of those fellows were Ewoks in Trinity.
Really?
Yeah, both of them were. I looked them both up just because I could. But Phil Fondacaro has roles in several films that I adore. Return of the Jedi, one of them. Willow, which...
Surprise.
I kind of love that film. Troll, which is a terrible film, but a lot of fun. And one of my favorites of all time, Bordello of Blood, which I really want to do on this.
What?
Cast.
Never heard of
that. And that's good. Why I want to do this, because I don't think it gets any cult love.
Yeah, probably not. But so
really? I thought it was a Bordello of Blood, a cult movie.
Maybe it is.
I don't know if it's regardless. Cult status yet, but I'm one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. As of late, my favorite part of doing this whole podcast has been the texts I get from Pete when he watches the movie, because he's, again, always watching it way before I'm watching it. And
Pete's an angry young man.
I'm not angry.
No.
The movies make me angry.
They are hilarious. Like, did you watch this movie twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to, because I watch it so early that I'm like, I should watch this again and actually practice the good beer, bad movie night. How many beers does it take? Because when I watched it originally, I was sober because I had to go somewhere.
Oh.
So there was no, it was like, okay, I got like 3 hours. I'm going to throw this in and just chill and kind of, and that was the first set of texts.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second time I was definitely practicing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The second set are definitely much more humorous, but the first part of it, he asks me if Troy shared the correct film.
That was the first thing I asked. Are you sure about that?
Is this the movie we're supposed to be watching? And then it says, "Hello boobies, hello bush, hello boner killer." I was like, to which I responded, "Oh Lord, I have no idea. Hold on, I'll ask it." So then I'm like,
and I was like, yep, that's it. That's
So then later on he says, Pete says, I recognize one of the little people from this, from another film. And then he says, dear God, what have I done with my life? I laughed so hard. It was so funny.
Hello boobies. Hello bush. Hello,
yeah, I saw him. And, and he talked. I'm like, oh, that's the guy from Troll. What have I done with my life?
Yeah. So then a couple days later, I get another text. It's a picture of a six-pack of beer in front of Pete's television with Rage War showing on the background. And he's like, this is all your husband's fault. And then I literally, one beer down, 15 minutes in. And I was just like, oh, no. I'm going to have to be just completely trashed before we even hit play. So, yeah. I just laughed really, really hard. And it's like, I get one that says beer 3 and I still hate this movie. I was like, that may be the best text I've ever received in the
That's
long
the only time.
Time
you've ever texted me back. Because I usually throw these out into the void, hoping you're
listening. I know, I know. I'm always listening, but sometimes it's like, I don't really know what you're talking about because I haven't seen the movie yet. So yeah, I did ask if with this movie choice, Pete had dethroned, or Troy had dethroned Dave for worst movie picker, but right away I was assured that that did not happen.
No.
So, your title remains.
We got full frontal in 2.5 minutes. We're okay. Your throne is secure, sir.
Yeah, I give you something.
No
at least.
Place to go but up.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about like Hello Boobies, Hello Boner Killer.
Yeah.
Well, like, the troll okay, things
first of
came
all,
in.
I'm thinking like, you know what? A cool name for a babe would be Booby Bush and the Boner Killer.
Oh, so are we gonna wrap this up now?
No.
Oh, we got to talk more about this.
Other
more.
Things that we have to say.
I don't know.
So many things.
I didn't. I will say. I also did not understand why Einstein
tried.
Was in the
tried to cut it off.
Frozen ice.
Yeah, he's in there with the world's greatest criminals.
Yeah,
and Einstein's sitting on the throne.
The only thing that I think was atomic bomb.
But he didn't invent the atomic bomb.
Well, no, but doesn't his science have something to do with them being able to figure it out?
Yes, but I mean, if you want to do that, then by proxy, Edison is too.
Totally, but that was the thinnest of strings I could try to connect yeah. why
he had to provide the weapon to fight the bad guys.
He was there because the wax museum that they were using as the set was the had
Einstein and they couldn't move it.
Because
he also doesn't come to life like all the baddies do.
No,
I just like that. Like, I don't know if I should use the word.
You should be careful there.
that first sequence when they're all in this like this hall of collections of horrible monsters and villains and stuff, they start coming to life, and he just somehow knows to use. Where are the ice crystals? I'm like, what? How did you know that was a thing?
He yells at Cal, and Cal tells him.
Uh-huh.
Like, because Cal is totally the.
Yeah, Cal is the winner in this.
I say it all the time. It's the deus ex machina.
Okay.
You know?
Literally, like, this time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, and the solution to almost every challenge is he's going to shoot something with the laser from
thing.
His...
Yeah,
his
he's going to laser from his... Yeah.
Look
Nintendo
for the ice
glove.
Crystals that Einstein is holding, or...
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And shooting the lasers from his armbands that look like the things I sleep in to prevent carpal tunnel.
I was thinking Nintendo Power Glove.
Oh, yeah, that's
yes.
It is so bad.
Okay. Yeah, the whole Cal thing is very convenient because he would talk to his
right.
wrist and
yeah.
And there were times when he would go and you right. couldn't hear what he was saying and then boop 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 it was done.
Yeah, yeah. and I do have to say that I am extremely impressed with Paul's ability to look where three people are standing and know the exact latitude, longitude,
axis,
coordinates
blur, blur, blur.
Of where they are standing hey. So that Cal can zap those three in
that was
perfect
in the,
succession.
That was in the Desert Pursuit.
The Mad Max section.
His weapon
yes, that's what I thought was Mad Max section too. Yeah,
yeah, me too.
It was titled Desert Pursuit.
I know.
The credits.
Well,
but I find it.
I mean, he worked in computers, Kathleen. They could do that in their head.
Uh-huh. You work in computers. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's easy.
I can plot. Okay. I've been plotting all of your positions on a Cartesian plane since we sat down.
Right on. I like to see that, please, when we're done.
Sure.
Dave's going to throw his beer at us, and we're all going to get, like, you're going to get an ounce, you're going to get an ounce, I'm going to get an ounce.
Right.
Yeah. So these seven things, this is analogy.
Anthology. Yeah.
Of seven different sequences were supposed to be seven tests that Paul is
right
supposed to pass, otherwise Bull from Mite Court takes his girl.
And his
soul. And his soul.
And
his soul.
Yeah. They both, yeah.
Okay. Did they all feel like tests to you?
No, especially the...
Not really.
the cave beast, where there's just the guy that's throwing... crystals at Paul, and then they turn into a laser somehow and ricochet around the cave, and like, and then why did the thing change to an angel? That hurt my head so
I
much
feel
when
like
that happened.
That one, the test was like knowing when you're not welcome. Like, you should just leave.
Well, then he failed because he stayed. Totally,
yeah, right, which he did, but then he owned his mistake to the pretty angel.
Wow, that's a stretch, sense. Man.
I know. It there doesn't make any sense, there. But that's the there story were. They were telling.
They're hitting signs of lace or something.
See-through. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Is there anything else to do? PG-13. You've already done it.
That made me so mad.
Yeah.
That made me so mad. Why did she die? I don't get it. I don't get any of that. She was it sounded like she had maybe she was part of that test earlier.
She had tried.
And she had become part of the test because she failed or something weird like that.
I don't know.
But it just sounded like he was
being separate. There's no way one of the other writers would have connected some other person from a different story.
I don't know. There had to be some sort of a. So this is what we're doing.
The slasher one though was the worst. That was so bad.
Oh, so bad.
It's the slasher one just looked like they stole like a section out of like Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, I was gonna say. <Hill
Street Blues. laughs> They were like, "Oh, let's just do that one. I wrote this for Hill Street Blues for next week. I'll just stick it in this movie too."
Right, except that this is the part that they told me I couldn't use because it was so bad. Like the cop dialogue where they're arguing about the fact that he bought a jelly donut.
Right. It's after like, he bit into it.
Yeah.
What kind of donut is this? You just bit into it, you jackass.
He's got do I like jelly donuts? No. Well, then why you buy the jelly donuts? Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Though I did like when at the end of that one, when the cops run in to catch the bad guy, and right before they run in, he like zaps away, and they're like, "Did you see that?" No, neither did I. I did think that was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, just that exact scene. Like, so the slasher is armed with a scalpel, and he's trying to slash at Gwen, and then just before he actually strikes at her, she vanishes, and his scalpel passes through nothing.
Right.
So a beat, and then he just keeps slashing away at nothing.
Yeah.
Which like I found hilarious. Shock. Yeah, because the look on his face was
wonderful. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is awesome. Because he's just like, swing.
It's kind of like Bruce Willis getting hit multiple times.
Yes, absolutely.
In Hudson Hawk and keep getting hit. And there's no way to escape from the backseat of a cop car. Troy has told me this, that if you're in the backseat of a cop car, I know, was it you, Dave? You told me this, Dave. I don't know from personal experience.
There's no door handles.
There's no door handles.
There are no door handles. You cannot get the locks. And there's actually a barrier. There's a partition between them. Do I know this from personal experience? Yes. Do I know it from multiple times? Yes.
Yeah. Did I tell you the story about one of my students refusing to let me ride in the back of a cop car?
Oh, let you? I was not.
Well, we did a fundraiser thing where it was like, it was a fundraiser, and it was supposed to be this competition. Whichever teacher had the most money had to be taken away in the cop car. And our DARE officer was going to do it or whatever. And it was one of those things where it's like, for every amount of money you put in one person's jar, it takes points away from other people. And I had a kid in my class that year whose dad was a cop, and he worked on like the south side of Columbus. And when this kid found out that I was going to be the winner, he freaked out. He was like, "You will not ride in the back of that car." He was like, "Do you know what they do back there?" Like, he was like, "My dad had arrested me. He was naked." Like, this kid was so just like disgusted by the idea that I would be befouled by having to be in the back of a police car. He brought in $20 the next day. Like, who do I have to give this to so that she does not have to do that? It was so hilarious. So.
He's telling you this?
Yes.
Like,
you
cannot ride in the back there. Wet things, Miss Carson. Wet things happen back there.
And he's like, he looks at me and he's like, real, like, it's real quiet. And he goes, "They go to the bathroom." And I was like, "Okay, buddy, I totally get what you're saying, but you know, this is how it works. It'll be okay." And he was just like, "No.
No,
like,
there's caca."
The sweetest little thing. I thought it was so funny. I was not unhappy that I lost, so it was okay, but it didn't make me laugh.
So, Chiro, you liked the sequences with Mistima, like, in the fire
section? Yeah, that was the part of the movie that I enjoyed the most.
Stupidest
part. Even the one where the animated dragons fight each other.
No, it was so disappointing. Like,
what
was that? I don't know. if they'd have done something, you know what that was? That was they had some budget and they made it, and then they're like, didn't really work. Keep it in.
Well, was it one of the challenges?
No,
no,
no. There's supposed to be seven challenges, and all the stuff that happened with Mistima is just bonus footage, you know?
Yeah. It's just, like, supposed to tie them all together, which it does not.
No, it does not.
I love that they have there's, like, two animated dragons in the sky that just kind of, like, both open their mouths, and one has a little fire come out, and then they call him back, and then, then Mistima looks down at Paul, he's like, "Do you fancy music?"
So stupid.
Let me make you a mixtape.
Here's the mini that I put together.
Well, and like, whenever I see effects like that, like a cartoon type of computer effect like that added into a movie, especially an old movie like this, I just think, God, some guy spent like 6 months writing that programming or designing that thing to make that happen. And it probably looked this fucking stupid in 1984. Like, I was just like, this is so dumb.
Yeah, those sequences, like, I also did not understand why that existed, but I was glad it was there for some reason. Like, this
is Richard Mould. Like,
tried to make an effort.
He's just chewing up scenery. I mean, like, he's so overacting. Like, yes. The whole thing where he's talking about how they tortured a cat.
Oh,
yes!
Yeah.
What was that?
It was
like a set on
literally
fire?
The first time I ever felt bad for a cat.
Aren't animals fun?
Oh, there was a scene. I remember that. Maybe you guys could explain this entire sequence to me. There was a scene where they're speaking to one another, and they just Paul had just come back from one of his challenges. I think it was the first challenge. And he yells to Mistima, "Where's Gwen?" And Richard Mould responds with, "Trust me." "No." Okay. He's like, "Okay, I'll play along. I'll play your game." He's like, "You'll play along because you have no choice." Or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like,
"You got me.
Where's Gwen?" So he just yells again, "Where's Gwen?" And then he responds with, "Isn't love grand?" And then sends him off to the next the next trial. I'm like, what? I don't understand. Were they having the same conversation? Were they talking to each other?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's awesome. It's great, man.
I'm stupid. I did like when they were at the, the one where they're out in the desert, and we said it was
Desert Pursuit.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
When, like, Paul and Gwen are zapped in there together, and they're this is the first time in one of these that they're like a team instead of him having to rescue her. And they're like, "Oh my God, what are we gonna have to do now? Well, at least we're together. Maybe we're on the way to Vegas," or I don't even, whatever. Hilton, they kept making crap about Vegas or whatever. Joke. And then Paul's like, "Well, nice outfit." And she laughs and she's like, "I know, a Mistima original." And I was like, "What the fuck is this movie?"
So I think we should get into the next beer before we get too angry.
Yep.
Because frankly, I don't have a lot more to say.
No.
But I am eager to try the new beer because I saw it and it's delicious. All
right.
So let's grab another beer and we'll be right back, folks. Bye.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
All right.
Do it, Dave. So beer number 2.
We are drinking the Legend Valley IPA. From Buckeye Lake Brewery.
Oh, I love it. Have you been out there?
I haven't been there yet.
Yeah,
we tried in a very in the way that only Carlson's can try. sister-in-law's parents live out there, and they were having a party at the beginning of the summer, and our plan was to leave early, go to the brewery. Try the beer because it was on the beer tour book thingy.
Mm-hmm.
The trail.
The ale trail.
Yes. So we were going to go there, have a beer, then leave and go to the party. And we just could not get our shit together enough to leave in time to do that. So,
shocking.
We are late to everything. Everything. And so,
hey, you beat me to here, didn't I?
Yeah, really I did.
Today, actually.
It's an adorable little place. They've got these like 22-ounce beer cans that you can purchase right there. They'll pour it right from the tap and they'll seal it.
Ooh, interesting!
Right there. So I've only seen that in a couple of places, but it's really cool. It's a much better way to store your beer with those big growlers. you screw that cap on, it's only such a good seal, mm-hmm. but that aluminum can mm-hmm. that they crimp on is a much better way to store it for a long period of time. Usually if you get a growler, you got to drink that within the next 2-3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that can, you can open it up whenever you're ready.
And I have an embarrassing admission to make where I totally bought this because the bottles are so awesome. I'm a sucker for marketing. I'm a sucker for packaging.
Oh, yeah.
And these, they're like little Coors Banquet bottles if you're playing along at home. And I love the shape.
They look like old school medicine bottles.
Yeah.
They look like little red stripe bottles. I know we were talking last night and I asked Troy, did you get the beer for this? And he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the Lazarite. And then I bought this other one that, and he, so we're talking about it. And he goes, and I bought it kind of for a dumb reason. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. Hadn't even looked at it. Didn't open the refrigerator. And I said, is the bottle pretty? He was like, yeah. And then I like opened it and I saw it and I go, oh, it's like little Red Stripe bottles back there. And he was like, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
There's not a jingle that doesn't live in this man's brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am a sucker for marketing. Marketing is made for me.
Especially
these are great, though. I love them. They're gorgeous. They are the Coors Banquet, old school Coors Banquet bottles.
Yeah. It's funny. This is an IPA. It's 6.5 ABV, only a 47 IBU.
I knew it.
And you could taste it. There's a lot more malt to this mm-hmm. when you drink it. This is not a very hoppy IPA, which I was not expecting.
I was going to ask, actually, that you not tell me what the IBUs was.
Because
as soon as I tasted it, I'm like, oh, this is very malty. There was a hop element to it, but like, I bet you the hops, the IBUs are pretty low, like in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on, Dave. Yeah, as an IPA, this is...
I love this diary.
I find this a little... it's effervescent. It's very... It's highly carbonated.
Mm.
It's almost hurting me. I'm unable to really sink my tongue into to taste it because the... I think the carbonation is too...
Hurting you?
It's a little unpleasant, and I don't know if that's
too carbonated.
I think it's too carbonated.
We're all watching him drink. he was sipping.
We want to see him like twitch or something.
Sipping four.
I know what you mean. Like it hurts in the throat and like in the nose. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this, though. It's better this round than the first one I had.
It's a struggle after the Lazarite.
That was that's an exceptional beer.
And I'm just saying, like, that has such a strong flavor that I'm having a hard time even really tasting some of this after that. Mm. So
I like this. I think it's
smells really good.
It does. It's like sweeter and it is maltier than I was expecting. And I don't really like malty beers, but I kind of like this. I could only maybe drink two of them.
Yeah.
After that, like, I'm fucking sick of this. But as I'm drinking it now, I like it. And
it does linger on the tongue a bit.
Yes, it is sticky.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like this would fall under your I just finished mowing the lawn refreshing category. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dave mows the lawn a lot.
It is not. It's not that I mow the lawn.
He just has a wide choice of beverages for after he's mowed the lawn that he could enjoy.
It is the context by which I measure whether or not a drink is refreshing. If I would want to drink it after mowing the lawn, it's a refreshing drink.
Understood.
For example, lemonade would be great after mowing the lawn.
Lemonade.
Warm milk, maybe not so much.
I don't know that ever is good.
Milk is a bad choice.
Milk is a bad choice.
I'm in the last case of emotion.
You know what I like after a long day of mowing the lawn? Is a nice hot glass of maple syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the closest Howard Johnson? Sorry, I totally stole that bit from Sam and Max.
I was like, Troy, you...
Okay, Troy's done.
No, Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen's done, actually.
She's wheezing. I love the wheeze laugh that Kathleen gets.
And beat red.
Oh my god, I can't help that part. There's not enough food in me to not be red after drinking these beers, but...
Okay, I can relate.
I will say this.
Oh, yeah.
This has a little bit of a special place in my heart, because it was my first... I submitted an edit on Untappd for it. They had the IBUs and the ABV wrong on the site. Because on the site it said it was like a 6.2 ABV and a 65 IBU. But then if you go to the actual Buckeye Lake website, 6.5 ABV and 47 IBU. So it's like, haha, I'm going to correct you. And I love to do that.
I love
being right.
It's not that I like being right. I just like to point out that everybody else is wrong.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not ever right.
I'm going to say it's so rare. I'm excited when it happens.
Darn it.
Okay, so does this movie feel like the people who are making this movie don't know how to make movies?
I kind of thought there's a point in there where Paul yells about how he's worked for Zytec or whatever the name of his company was. And I'm like, this does feel like one of those wish fulfillments by an IT geek. Like somebody, somebody that has an office job and is bitter and upset about it wrote this movie about how he could be transported to another world and save a beautiful woman. Yeah.
Yes.
You are exactly right.
I wrote down... What did I... There was... I said that this movie is a lot of I'm a nerd, hear me roar. Lots of I deserve the hot girl. Lots of who's the real winner now, you bully. Like, that was like the message.
Oh, yeah.
Just kept getting over and over and over again. So, I don't know.
This is
dumb.
I was hoping, during the second watching, I was hoping that...
It got better?
Well, no. but an idea came... An idea came to my head. I was hoping that Cal would become Hal. And
then kill them all?
And then Cal was actually the villain. Because the computer and the person had been integrated.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer was trying to take... over his body, and then this was a hallucination where in the end of the film it would come that the computer had taken over his body, and then T-1000
wow, you were really hoping for a lot.
Well, that's like, you know what would make this more interesting?
And then they were in the Matrix.
And then there's Godzilla.
That fights RoboCop.
And we had the big
that fights RoboCop. Yes!
Godzilla fighting RoboCop. I wonder if that was, I don't know, because I wondered the same thing throughout the whole movie. When are we going to figure out that Cal is the bad guy?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I totally kept waiting for that to happen.
Cal was jealous of Gwen.
Yeah.
I thought that too.
But.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
But somehow.
And Mephisto was actually
a manifestation of Cal. Yeah.
Mestima, thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mephisto was actually a horrible.
I'm getting that wrong. I know this.
Yeah.
Though I love that when he introduces himself, Cal then has to pipe in, Mestima equals Beelzebub. Right. Yeah. Satan. It's like,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, because he rattled off a whole bunch of names when he introduced himself.
I am.
Blah, 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 blah. Bad mean devil pants. Roster
off.
You know, yeah, and then. Yeah. So. Yeah.
By the power of the Prince of Darkness!
Oh, yeah. When he did that, I literally went, I have the power!
And then Cringer became the mighty battle cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. The most powerful man in the universe.
Well done. Yes.
Yeah, here's exactly what I thought.
Here's how you enjoy this movie. Go onto YouTube and type in the Dungeon Master trailer and just watch the trailer because it's a thing of beauty.
I mean, we watched the trailer.
It's great.
Yeah.
It Definitely. Looks like it's going to be a great movie.
But that's how you came to this? Watched the trailer and you thought, yes.
I have several trailers that make me want to watch I'm a sucker for marketing, like I said earlier. I'm a sucker for marketing. And, like, trailers get me so excited. You have no idea. I was so excited for Man of Steel. And because the trailer is a thing of beauty, and then you go to see that movie, and you're like, what the fuck? What did you do? Why did you do this?
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah.
Bad. Bad. Anyway.
That's the one that I'm still angry about. When you talk about trailers, it disappoints you. Man of Steel.
Just give up on trailers.
Yeah.
Stop watching. I stopped watching most.
You may go. If I care about a film, I will not watch a trailer. I was at Meg a month ago, and they had a Godzilla King of Monsters trailer up.
Right.
And I closed my eyes and plugged my ears. I'm not even joking.
I'm not even kidding.
I can't hear you. Not even kidding. I don't want to see anything about that. If I care about the film, I don't want to see anything about it.
That's crazy.
I know it's crazy.
That's
the way I am. I don't like watching.
Salivate. Trailers are my number one thing that I look for on YouTube.
I think it was after Phantom Menace. When I'm like, fuck trailers. Because that was a beautiful trailer.
God.
That was gorgeous. It got me. I had a Star Wars boner going on for this thing.
So much.
Oh, my God.
And then it was a boner killer.
And then it was a boner killer, exactly.
Who pushed the boner killer?
Yeah, that one hurt.
I will watch trailers, but I will no longer seek them out. So if I'm watching a movie and like in the theater and there's a trailer playing, I will watch it.
That's the only way I see trailers too. I'm the same way.
Unless I care about it. Unless I really want to see that movie. Because I'm like, I'm paying my money for this already. I don't need to see it.
I should take your advice.
You should.
But you're not gonna.
But I'm looking for the Captain Marvel trailer right now, baby.
I'll watch that.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I'll see it, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brie Larson's great, man.
Mm-hmm.
Brie Larson is great.
Difficult to look at.
There's that too. She's the one that was in United States of Tara.
Yes.
Yeah, she was the daughter in that show.
Yep.
Oh, she's so good in that.
She was also Skull Island?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was bitching really in Skull Island. She was good.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking up after the movie was over. It was a little bit of like, okay, we know Richard Mull went on to have at least enough of a career that we all knew who he was.
Sure. But he was in House.
Did you say House?
He was in House.
He was in an episode of House. Of course, he was.
No. He was in the movie House.
That's a movie. I don't know what that movie is.
Yeah. John Ratzenberger and...
The Greatest American Hero.
Yep. If you Richard ever... Katz. Remember when you were a kid and the movie that you never rented, but if you passed by the horror section or the comedy section or the comedy horror section, there was a picture of a disembodied hand hitting a door.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the cover for House.
Oh,
that's House. Also, so the cover for the Dungeon Master, I didn't recognize it.
Mm.
Go to Google Images, look up Dungeon Master, and there's one with Blackie Lawless, like the lead singer for Wasp, in the background doing his metal face, and then Paul on the ground, like, deflecting a laser coming from Estima's hand. I'm like, oh my God, I totally know that. I passed this movie so many times in the DVD section.
Why? That's funny. Really?
That's not the film poster that I put up on Instagram.
No. I'll put it up on our Facebook group. Because it's like totally...
Bitchin?
No. Not because I didn't
rent
Wasp. It.
Right. I get it.
But right. I totally recognize them. I'm like, oh my God, I passed that box a million times.
Did I say John Ratzenberger? I meant George Wendt.
George Wendt. Yeah. Ratzenberger was in House 2.
Oh really?
So yes. I'm not even kidding. It's a true thing.
So
and Ratzenberger was great.
Swap thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You've seen about the cover. It's a classic movie poster, and the film is a hootenanny. That's one of my favorites.
Take your word for it.
It's a blast.
Right. Richard Mould does get. I mean, he works. He doesn't work in a lot of high profile stuff, but
yeah.
Like I mean, he's.
He does a lot of voiceover stuff.
Actually,
and
yes.
Still working, unlike Leslie and Leslie Wing, who played Gwen, and then
is that her name?
Yes, Jeffrey Byron, who was
Paul.
I swear to God, that dude when I first saw him was Dwight Schultz from the A-Team. He was Face from the A-Team.
Howie Mad Murdock.
Yeah, no, Face. Dwight. Schultz, I think.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
I swear to God, that was
Dirk, wasn't it? Dirk something?
Dirk, that's what you texted me.
Dirk Bennett?
Bentley or something. Dirk. Dirk Bentley. That's a band.
Oh, Dirk Bentley. I'm getting my guys messed up now. But I thought he was Faced from A-Team when I first saw him. And he wasn't. I made that error. Shocking.
No, you have to think of like Dirk Bentley, which is a...
Not in his holistic
Dirk
detective agency.
Benedict.
No. Dirk Benedict. That's what I meant.
Dwight Schultz was Murdoch.
Yes. Oh, see, I'm getting Dwight my A-Team mixed up now. Yeah. So Mr. T was Mephisto, right? God damn it, Miss Diva.
No, Mr. T was in Barefoot in the Park with Jay Funk.
Right. Yes.
No, but that's George Lapard.
Yeah, that was George
Lapard.
Hannibal was in.
Yay! No, George Lapard was the one in the exhibition fight with Rocky.
Hannibal was in the Battle of the Stars.
Dave, you win.
That's true.
Dave wins tonight. Yeah.
That is true. George Lapard was in Battle Beyond the Stars.
Richard Boll, he does do a lot of voice work for I think a lot of DC, like Warner Brothers stuff. He was the voice of Harvey Dent in the Batman the Animated Series.
Really?
Yes. He was Two-Face, and he was so good.
Yes.
He was so good that I remembered it.
That was one of the most perfect animated shows ever. That one was. Yeah. And I see it now. Yeah.
They have good performance. I mean, everything. They had good actors and good performances. And like, I still, to this day, have very high regard for Batman.
Stories. I mean, like, well structured stories.
I put on the brakes every time I see it on TV, if it ever gets on TV.
Yeah.
Just put on the brakes. I'm sitting down, I'm watching this. Those are so good.
Good job.
But yes.
Paul and Gwen spent a lot of time doing, you know, episode here, episode there, episode here, episode there, through like 70s, 80s, 90s television. But, Gwen was one of the three finalists for the main role in the movie Flashdance that ended up going to Jennifer Beals, which I said to Troy, I was like, I mean, no offense to Jennifer Beals, but if they'd picked this chick, she probably could have done the dancing. And Jennifer Beals doesn't do any of the dancing in that movie at all.
Wait, what? That's all silhouette stuff.
I mean, maybe some of the, like, you know, they're in class and it's kick one, two, step to the side, but any of the main performance stuff, it's not her.
Okay.
So
she did have some impressive. That was that dance scene in the beginning. That was like, oh, you know what you're doing.
Right. Well, she's, according to I think it was Wikipedia that pulled this up, what she's most famous for was she was in the Disney movies High School Musical. She was the mom of Zac Efron's character in those movies.
Wait, musicals?
Musical, High School three. Musical, High School Musical 2, High School Musical 3.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I knew there was one.
No, there's three. All. We've watched them all.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you have a little girl. It doesn't surprise me.
I not only have a little girl, I have a former student who could not believe that I had not seen these movies. Mostly because Zac Efron's character's name is Troy. So, of course, somehow that must mean I'm supposed to watch these movies so that I, too, can be in love with Troy. And she keeps threatening to buy me this horrible necklace that the one character who loves Troy wears. It's like a big T with a big fake stone in it or whatever. And I'm like, do not waste your money on this.
I will never wear this. Do not buy this.
Yeah. So, yeah. But... When Troy looked it up and he was like, oh, she was Troy Bolton's mom. And I was like, Troy Bolton? Why does that sound familiar? And he's like, from High School Musical.
He's not messing around.
Like, oh, Lord. So, yeah. It made me laugh.
High School Musical. I had no idea that existed until like 3 years after it had already come out. And it's like, who's this Zac Efron dick? And why does these people keep talking about him? I looked him up and like, oh my god,
he's so pretty.
Don't you just want to punch anybody whose name is Zac Efron?
Not particularly.
Like,
I mean,
Zac F you.
He's gonna be Ted Bundy in a movie coming up recently.
That's apropos. Ted Bundy was so handsome.
I know, right?
Ew.
Yeah, I like true crime stuff. So
no, but Ted Bundy really truly was a handsome guy, which is why he got.
He was able to do what he did. Yeah.
Right. That's why that was my code word for Jody when I was doing online dating. She would call me when I was into my dates.
Ted Bundy!
If I said to her, hey, did you watch that documentary about Ted Bundy that I told you to watch? She would know that meant, come get me right now. I'm going to be killed.
That's not even a little subtle. Like, that's not subtle at all.
If I would have heard that.
She calls me on our day. I just say, oh, hey, I'm in the middle of something right now, but I just wanted to double check. Did you watch that documentary I told you to watch? Oh, okay.
And I'll be like, oh, right. She thinks I'm a killer.
Okay. So you can say, like, hey, Ted Bundy, Ted Bundy, Ted Bundy.
No, I was like, did you watch documentary on Ted Bundy that I told you to watch?
Oh, okay.
She got that call during our first date. And she did not say Ted Bundy, so Jody didn't come get her.
Yeah. This is more of an Edmund Kemper, Albert Fish, Richard Speck.
Ed Gein. So, Jody, have you seen Deep Throat? was that her answer?
Yeah.
Wrong lyrics.
Troy Carlton and the wrong lyrics.
That's another band.
Yeah, Carlson, exactly.
I did. Yes. Yes. Yes.
There's spaghetti arms in the wrong lyrics.
Yes. There you go. Yes. I did make the note when I was looking at all the stuff that Richard Mull has done. I did not know that when he was Bull Shannon on Night Court, because I was 7 when that show was on, that his name was Nostradamus Shannon. And Bull was a nickname.
What, really?
His character's name was Nostradamus.
I had no idea.
Shannon, yeah.
No idea.
And then I made the note when I was writing stuff down. I was like, he's done tons of voiceover, tons of TV, and a lot of good beer, bad movie night type films.
A lot of direct-to-video sequels?
Yeah.
He's got a stature that doesn't afford him a leading man's position.
And the blue guy was a scary, 6 foot tall at age 12.
Yeah. What is he, 6'9"?
6'8".
Yeah. He's a big dude.
Yeah, 6'8", and he looks like he could just look at you and hate you through a brick wall.
The weird thing about Night Court was Shannon, 6'8", Larroquette, 6'7".
Yeah.
Anderson, Harry Anderson, 6'6".
Yeah.
That was maybe the tallest TV show ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Marky Post would walk around on boxes.
Right, they were crazy tall.
Those
folks are crazy tall.
John Larroquette was 6'7"?
He was very, very tall.
John Larroquette is tall. Harry Anderson surprises me. I don't see him as tall.
If you see those three men stand next to each other, they look like you, me, and Dave stand next to each other. Huh. All of us about an inch or so different.
Yeah.
And with Bull Shannon being 6'8",
yeah,
or 6'9", legitimately, those two dudes are tall son of bitches. Yeah.
John, I didn't know. I had no idea they were so tall.
Yeah. It's crazy how tall those people were. Yeah,
John Larroquette and Harry Anderson both 6'4"-ish.
Yeah.
To make them look short.
Right.
Yeah,
right. I mean, he clearly was taller than they were.
Yeah.
But still, they were not short.
Short people.
To him, they were just like us standing next to a guy that's like 6'2".
Right.
But
also amazing. His stature and his look do not lend him to getting.
He's not a leading.
Is like the warm paternal thing.
You're right.
The loving old.
You gonna date my daughter?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we need somebody to play a monster.
Right.
Right.
Lurch would be a great role for.
Yeah, it would have been.
But I like Richard Bull, and I get the impression that he's probably a really sweet guy.
Agreed.
I hope.
Agreed. I hope so, too. And we don't know about these people, but I everything I've heard and read, never heard anything bad about them.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. All right. Let's six-pack this thing and be done.
Excellent idea. Yeah. Let's end this. Dave, give us a holler. What is, what are we doing here?
Well, we are doing the six-pack rating, which is a theoretical or, I guess, rating system where the more beer you have to drink, the worse the movie is. So, and for a scale of 1 to 6, 1 beer meaning you need, or 0 to 1 beer meaning you really enjoyed the movie, you don't need any sort of chemical augmentation to enjoy it, and 6 beers meaning you have to. And 6
write
beers.
Write that down. Chemical augmentation. That's fantastic.
This beer gives me the strength of 10 men. So 0 to 1 beers, meaning you really enjoy the movie. You don't need the chemical augmentation. You don't need to be anesthetized in order to enjoy it. 6 beers, meaning you have to be completely drunk or like out of your mind.
I prefer not to be conscious during this movie.
True.
Yes. This movie would be a lot better if I didn't have eyes or ears.
Yeah.
But and the sixth rating is a sort of an analogous. It just means you don't have to be drunk versus you I really drunk. It doesn't actually necessarily mean six literal beers. So, with that being said, let's start with Pete. How many beers do you need to enjoy this movie?
I tested this film with this actual theory. And I was...
Oh, so you drank the number of beers it took to enjoy it.
Actually tried my... And as the movie ended, I was at the bottom of my fourth beer. And I still hated that fucking word.
So
I couldn't drink fast plus. Enough. Yeah.
So I'm going to say five because fuck you, Swarm. I hate that movie with all of my heart and soul, and I cannot give this movie that gives me full frontal in the first 2.5 minutes a six. So this movie gets a five for me. Thank you, Troy. Fuck you.
Yep.
But without the full frontal in the first 2 minutes, it would have been a six.
I don't want to go there. It didn't happen. I got full frontal. And I got a little bit of boobs with the angel weirdness. That was weird.
That was weird.
The see-through. So yeah. There was that automatically drops it one or two, well, halves of beer.
All right. So five beers from
five. Right. Thank you.
Kathleen?
This movie was stupid. I didn't necessarily need the full frontal in the beginning of the movie to enjoy that because...
You see that every day.
I mean, he's not wrong. I take showers, so I already been there, seen that, so it doesn't... I am super enjoying how bad Pete is giggling at what he just said. He's so excited.
Yeah, he's
about
all
this.
Red and his yeah. veins are popping out of his head.
Sometimes she just shut up.
So the full frontal didn't do anything for me. The text from Pete that said boobies, bush, and boner killer, that was more entertaining to me than the full frontal.
That sounds like the worst law firm ever. Brought to you from the law offices of Boobies, Bush, and Boner.
They're right next door to Wolfram and Hart.
Right.
So, yeah. So I struggled because I just thought the whole thing was dumb. And I'm a little bit leaning toward like four, but at the same time, this movie's also not worth me having a hangover the next day. So I went back to like three, and then I like danced back and forth. And because we don't, I'm just going to go with four. And I probably still wouldn't enjoy it. I would just be passed out. So,
Well, that's enough. That's the number of beers it takes for you to not have the movie hurt anymore.
Right.
Okay.
How about you, Dave?
Me?
Yep.
I needed two beers.
Wow!
That is not meant to imply that I enjoyed this movie.
That full frontal carried a lot of weight for you. Did you get past that part?
There's
Did
more?
You only watch that part of the movie? That's what I'm
over
saying.
And over
yeah,
on a loop.
Yeah, you
just right,
watched
right.
the same first 5 minutes over and over for an hour.
Good looking girl.
Yeah, that's what I did. Like, I love them vaginas.
Oh my.
No, I watched the movie and it was just completely ridiculous. It was stupid as hell, and I did not think it was good at all. It was worse in terms of directing and writing and quality than any of the movies that I had suggested. However, I was laughing throughout most of it, and that allowed me to find some sort of enjoyment. As opposed to like just the dull, unfocused rage I usually feel when I'm watching the movie. So, two beers. And then I was like, okay, I'm good with the rest of it. I'm okay, just we're smooth sailing. Although, I could add a qualifier there. I don't need even the first beer until after the boobies. and then the drinking starts.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's it. So, two beers for me.
Troy Carlson.
Yeah, I'll give it. I'm going to give it 3 beers just to be different.
You're not allowed to rate this higher than mine.
Because this is a pretty, it's pretty bad. But yeah, I'm with you, Dave, where it's, it, there's definitely moments of entertainment. And just like, I love the Richard Mall performance. I thought he was, I couldn't take my eyes off of him the whole time. And,
I can't take my eyes off of him.
Yeah.
Dead
silence. No, it was not what I was hoping to get when I saw the trailer, which, again, I recommend you watch because it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It'll still take a beer to watch that.
Ah!
I'm just kidding.
But, yeah, 3 beers. 3 beers.
Wow.
Wow, all right.
It's all over the board, folks. I had a 5, Kathleen a 4. I think those are both reasonable. The other two are a little less reasonable. Troy had a 3, Dave had a 2. Dave.
This is what we do, Pete. This is why we watch.
I know. This is why we watch. So anybody trying to figure out if they would enjoy this film have absolutely no idea what the fuck is going on.
Your results may vary.
Right.
We've talked about this before, however.
Oh, yeah.
If we watch the movie in a particular company, this particular movie becomes much more
interesting. This would be a blast if we had all sat there with a few beers. Yeah, this would have been a hoot.
Yes.
So I recommend this as a group watching, for sure.
Because we were making cracks back and forth. Like when the stone monkey started zapping people from the gem in his forehead, I was like, oh my god, it's Vision, but he's evil! You know, like, we started making snarky comments through the whole thing, so.
Yeah.
And, like, Pete, you watched it on your own, right?
Oh, yeah.
Twice.
You think Jody's going to watch it with me?
And I watched it on my own, just sitting there like, I'd much rather be unconscious right now.
Which is why I gave it 5. So, yeah, that was a movie. Thanks, Troy.
You're welcome.
Yeah, as far
Happy
as
birthday
go,
to
that
me.
Was really a movie.
That was a movie. That was a movie. Well, wasn't it? Anyway. So, one last thing before we wrap up. We are going. I've secured 4 tickets to the premiere of the newest Christopher R. Mim film called Guns of the Apocalypse.
Yay!
It is a spaghetti Midwestern.
Yeah.
And it makes me laugh every time I say or read it.
Sprinkled on it.
So, we get to go see that with, I think it's the... Dr. Bob Tesla. This is new to us, so we haven't actually done this. But we have 4 tickets to go see that. Very excited to go support.
It's in that funky little theater.
It's weird, and they're moving in November or January, something like that. I'm not real sure. I think they're getting popular enough that they're moving to a larger venue. But we'll see what this is all about. All
right.
And I'll bring a recorder when we go. And maybe we can...
Oh, like a recording device. I thought you meant like one of those little ghetto foods.
Millie just brought one of those home from school.
We're so excited.
Yeah.
Now, maybe we'll try to get a couple of drops from the premiere. So, very excited to go see that. Dr. Bob is a big advocate of the Mim films. So, we will be in the Mimiverse for sure.
Yeah.
So, outside of that... If we have anything else, I think we're going to wrap it up. Next month, we're just going to do it. We're going to do Spooky Encounters next
sure.
month.
Yes.
Yes. It is a weird Chinese kung fu horror movie.
It's a kung fu horror comedy.
Yeah. It's definitely a comedy. Yeah.
And I remember this from my, it was actually my suggestion because I remember this movie from my childhood. And it's both scared me and, well, you know what? I was a kid. It scared me.
Right.
And I somehow recounted it. Like, it popped back into my head at some point. I suggested, like, oh, okay, yeah. So.
Yeah. I saw it a few years ago, and it's actually a hoot. It's a good
bouncing vampires, right?
Yes.
It's the vampires that hop.
Bouncy.
Mm-hmm. So we'll do Spooky Encounters next month. And, well, Kathleen, how can our listener... I think we have a couple now.
At least 2.
How can they get a hold of us, please?
Well, dear listeners, if you would like to reach out to us, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. Shut up.
Come on. It's right in front of you.
I know. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at gbbmnpodcast, or you can find us on Facebook at Good Beer Bad Movie Night. We've been trying to reach out to folks before we record and say, hey, we're recording tonight. Do you have any questions, comments, cries of outrage, of anything you'd like to let us know? We love it when you like those posts, but we'd like to see some actual comments in there. So we got a like on this week's post from a fun friend named Karen, who we really enjoy. But we'd like to see some comments, things. If you have beer suggestions, I would love to hear that. If you have tested the Geary or are interested in testing the Geary or have one that you want us to test, you could let us know by reaching out to us in any of those ways, shapes, or forms.
Cool. So until next time, folks, thanks for listening.
Show enough.
Richard Mall.
Doop. I replace your reality with my own.
Oh, damn it.
I reject reality and substitute my own.
That was a Mythbusters thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was from this film. I about shot my wad going, what the fuck?
That's hilarious.
Oh, Pete. Don't ever talk about your ejaculate again.
I make no promises.
Doop.
Man, Kathleen.
I know. I can't. Yes. I was holding. I kept taking sips of water like, oh, I cannot hack in the middle of this synopsis. I'm both dry and phlegmy. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Doop.
Hello. Let's try this. Oh, it seems to be working. Okay. So I don't have the little outtakes sound, so. Doop!
Zuri day!